Good afternoon. The Audible is on the air. Kim Bocamper here with you, coming to you live from the Miami Dolphins training facility in Davie, Florida. The roster is all set. The releases have been made on Friday, Saturday. They brought back the practice squad. That's all rounded up. Not saying this will be the final inclination of this Miami Dolphin roster, because I'm sure there'll be some changes as we move along. But for now, this is where they're set. And you kind of look at this roster a little bit and see what the Dolphins just kind of wrapping things up, wrapping up their practice for today as we speak, and just kind of heading back into the locker room right now as they get ready for the Tampa Bay Bucs in the opener on Sunday on September 10th. So taking a look at the roster, surprises, some of the things that maybe jumped out at you. Well, one thing I can see is they got 6 tackles on this roster, counting Jermon Bushrod, who can play guard and tackle. Obviously, he's going to be the starting right guard for you. Anthony Steen will be the starting left guard when the Tampa Bay Bucs come to town on Sunday for the opening game at Hard Rock Stadium. And then some of the other guys that kind of surprises in the lineup, Chase Allen. I knew he was a guy that was kind of coming on strong late in the preseason. His special team play certainly did hurt him as he secures a roster spot here. Matt Hack, we talked about the battle at the punting position really out throughout training camp, and both of them neck and neck. I think Matt Hack's numbers were just a little bit better from an average standpoint, and you throw the caveat in there that he's got that left foot kicker that maybe causes some problems for people back there and catching the punch, just a different look for him. So he's another guy that came in. Torrey McTyre, who had a nice training camp throughout and really had a good game in to close things out up in Minnesota, he earns a roster spot. Eric Smith gets that other tackle spot. And Sam Young, who they released the day before yesterday, brought him back yesterday to kind of round out this roster and put Ted Larson on the injured list so he can come back a little later. So that's kind of how it wraps up right now. But joining me now, Jakeem Grant, and I can't call him a punt returner anymore. My man is a wide receiver out there now doing things, got to the outside. Jakeem, as you're sitting here right now, last year you kind of went through the whole thing of making the squad, and I'm sure these last 4 days was a pretty uneasy period for you last year. Boy, a lot different a year later, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I would say just the hard work and preparation I put in over off season, you know, just even working on, you know, punt return, making sure that I master it and looking it all the way in. And then also just, you know, getting with Kenny and Jarvis on this summer in the off season, working on receiver drills. And, you know, it's big thanks to those guys for even helping me out to the way I can transfer it over to, you know, onto the field and over and letting it, you know, showing the coaches that, you know, I could be a receiver also.
Jakeem, it seems to me like you're a guy that really kind of learned really quickly what it takes to be a pro. You got here last year, you come out of college, you kind of acclimate yourself, but you can tell what you did in the offseason to get yourself to where you are right now. You know, that's something that a pro does. You knew you had some things you wanted to work on. You improved on your punt catching, which certainly was probably going to be, if you couldn't catch punts, was going to make it tough for you to make this roster. I think you knew that going in. Then all of a sudden, you work on it during the offseason. You become very, very good at it. Then you get the chance to get out in the wide receiver position. They put you to the outside, and that brought a whole different presence to you for this roster. And now you're firmly entrenched on this roster as a guy that they're expecting to make plays both on special teams as well in the offense. You've got to feel very, very good about what you've accomplished and the work you took to get where you're at right now.
Yeah, definitely. I would say also what motivates me is just, you know, the support I had behind me, you know, with Coach Gase and Rizzy and even my teammates, you know. And, you know, Kenny and Jarvis always told me, you know, if you make your plays on special teams and do that and make big plays, they're going to tell you, like, hey, maybe we should try them on offense. Mm-hmm. And I always kept that in the back of my head. So what made me, you know, just strive this offseason is perfecting that I can catch punts and show them that you, no matter what, you can put me in, you know, when it's raining or anything, I will field the punts. And so that was my big thing, is just getting there and just understanding that, you know, that I have this support behind me and I really don't want to let these guys down. So that made me, you know, just work as hard as I can.
We talked to you in a production meeting before the game on Thursday night, and you talked about, you know, brought Matt Dar down there and he worked with you and all the things. Take us through what you did to make yourself as accomplished as you were, because you're certainly, when you're back there standing under a punt now, you can see the confidence that you have in it. You know, if you've got to run up and go after the ball, you'll go up and get it. You know what you do, and you feel calm. What were the steps that it took to get you to that level?
I would just say, you know, constantly doing it and just making sure that, you know, I had it down, you know, down pat, you know. And I would just feel like, you know, if I don't leave the field until I feel like it's second nature to me where I'm not going up, where I'm going up and fielding the ball and not even thinking about it. And that's what I always do, you know. I never leave the field until I feel that, you know, I secure the ball good enough or there's no bobble, there's no nothing. And so I brought Matt down there because, you know, I was sitting at home and I'm like, you know, it's good catching them off the jugs machine. It's fine, you know, but the jugs is, you know, just, you know, work on the
jugs doesn't throw that curveball to you.
Yeah, they don't throw the curveball to me. So I'm like, Matt, you know, what are you doing? You know, he was like, yeah, you know, no doubt I'll come down there. And I'm like, that's good, you know. So that helped me a lot, you know, just in the offseason, just getting, you know, kicks from him. And he's a very great punter. You know, he's kicking knuckleballs at me, which are the ones that are very hard to judge, you know, everything. And, you know, and it's been a few times where, you know, he's gotten me, you know, on his punts. And I'm like, man, I kept telling Matt, you know, let's keep doing it. And so that would made me, you know, all that hard work over the offseason is what made it build my confidence up and just where it could transfer over to here. And so, you know, even, you know, during the time in the spring, you know, I was out here just, you know, either way, it was by myself, you know, me and the equipment guys, you know, hey, could you shoot me, you know, 100 balls, you know, and that's it, you know, it just.
You probably feel naked walking around without a football in your hand now. When you don't have all that.
Man.
You've had your hands on a lot of footballs between the end of last season and where we are right now.
Definitely.
I mean, did you ever sleep with the football?
Man, I'm telling you, I woke up and. And it's always
first
like
thing you do is grab a football.
Yeah, it's always a football laying around my house, and I pick it up, and I'm just looking at it, just tossing it back and forth, holding it in my arms. It's just making this feel like it's second nature. So that way, you know, I never, you know, take my eyes off of it and just look it all the way in. And you know, Rizzy always talked about that. You know, we know what you can do after the catch. Don't worry about the noise. You know, you have a safe call, and that's fair catch. And so all you have to do is just worry about catching it. And that's been my biggest thing this, you know, going into it is just worried about catching and not worried about the outside distraction, because I know my teammates are going to block for me. So all I'm doing is just worried about the catch.
Now, I've seen you out here catching punts with multiple balls in your hand, two balls in your hand, trying to catch balls. What does that do for you?
I would say the hand-eye coordination, because that's taking my left arm away or taking my right arm away. So if I have two balls in one arm, I have to really focus on catching the third one. And so I go all the way up until I can't catch anymore. And so that just makes me look it all the way in, because with one ball in your hand and that makes it, you know, very hard to catch. Mm-hmm. And so also, you know, it feels like, you know, if you can catch it with one hand, there's no doubt you can catch it with two. And so that's the reason why I do it, just to help my hand-eye coordination and also, you know, just to have a little fun back there.
Someone calls him or sends him from Periscope, Lamel Ortiz. How fast can you run the 40?
I definitely ran the 40 at my pro day at a 4.1.
4.1?
Yes, sir. I did.
Damn.
I don't want to give it
4-1.
To 4.1? Yes, sir.
Not even a 4.15. A steady 4.1.
4.1. I definitely ran a
You running on a track?
I ran track. I definitely.
No, but I mean, when you ran your 4.1, were you running on a track?
No,
you
I was running. I run on turf.
Damn.
Yes, sir.
Damn,
yes, sir.
Man. That's smoking.
Yes, sir.
I know that Kenyon Drake, another fast guy here, and there were some questions about who was faster, but Kenyon, I think. He's raised a right white flag on that. He surrendered on that, right? He surrendered
over
to you.
But don't get it wrong. You're like, Kenyon Drake.
Oh, no, he's fast now.
Oh, yeah, he's blazing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not that too far ahead of him.
Well, my man may be a 4.3. If he's a 4.3, he's got to look ahead at you.
I'm telling you, if you put somebody behind him, that 4.3 will turn into a 4.2 real quick. So,
no doubt about it.
And we always talk about, like, well, we have the fastest 4x1, you know, in the NFL. And I was like, hands down, we would, you know. We got Kenyon Drake, Kenny Stills, you know. We got anybody. We can put Devontae Parker. We can put anybody there.
Hey, let's talk about that wide receiver group you've got in there. You talk about Jarvis, Devontae, Kenny Stills, yourself, Leonte Carew. But let's talk about the kinship in that room, is how tight you guys are. And I don't know if I've ever seen a group of receivers that are more unselfish, in as much as, hey, you know what, if I need to block to spring this guy and get him some extra yards, I'm going to do it. If I need to run my route hard, even though I know the ball's not coming to me, so I can take someone away from that. You guys seem to relish in helping the other guy make plays, because you know at some point they're going to help you make the same type of plays yourself.
Yeah, and I think that would go with, you know, just the brothership that we have and just the things that we do off the field. Yep. You know, we hang out with each other off the field. You know, we go eat dinner, just come over each other's houses and play the game. And, you know, just hanging out with somebody every day, you develop that friendship or that brotherhood that, you know, next thing you know, it transfers over onto the field. And it's like, I can't let my brother down. Yep. You know, if I got to make this block for him or I got to run my route hard to spring him, then that's what I'm going to do. Because, you know, the biggest thing is letting a family member down. And that's what we look at each other as family members. And we love each other in that room. I think it's like airtight in that room. And we would do anything for each other. You know, we go out here and we also compete against each other. You know, we always, we, you know, tell each other, you know, who's going to drop the ball today. Yep. And we've started a fine box in our room. You know, every critical error, you know, drop ball, anything, you know, you have to put money in the fine box. And so that's going to keep us, you know, that's going to make us
keep engaged in things.
Keep us engaged in things and make us great players, because nobody wants to give their money away. Yep. And so, and I think
in that situation, it's not so much how much money you're putting in.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you got to put some money
in
there.
Yeah, exactly.
I screwed up. I got my money in there.
And that's what it's about, you know, just building that. And then it's like you got to pay up, man. Yeah. And, you know, we might give them a hard time, like, yeah, man, you're going to put like $100 in here already. When are you going to stop messing up? You know, but it's just things like that, that we have fun with each other, we love each other, and we will do anything for each other. And I feel like all of us in that room is unselfish. Yeah. And so I feel like, you know, we would do anything to help each other out.
And we talked about your punt returning, and we know how explosive you are at that. And the coaches began to get more confident in you in that part of the game. And now they started giving you more time as a wide receiver. And then they put you outside there, working outside. And all of a sudden, man, you just lit up. And what is it about being outside that makes you so dangerous against some of those bigger cornerbacks? They got big cornerbacks out there these days. Yeah. And you kind of – you've got that quickness to get around them. And once you get around them, I know this, they're not going to catch up to you. That's for sure.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I definitely feel free out there. You know, I feel like it's a lot of one-on-one opportunities. And it's great being out there because it helps me, you know, read the coverage and understand what coverage it is, and just learning from, you know, Devontae, the guy that's ahead of me, you know, learning from Kenny Jarvis, you know, learning from those guys. And sometimes I go out there and I'm like, you know, I'll mess up on a conversion, and I ask those guys, you know, hey, what coverage was that, you know, and they'll tell me, and then so I'm like, I'm marking it down. I'm like, I won't make that mistake again. And so it just helps me identify the coverage and helps me to play faster also at the X, you know, because the X is normally always by itself. And so, you know, I think what coaches did was move me to the X was a brilliant idea, and I love it.
All right, let me get some questions here before you go, because I know you only got a couple minutes here with us. Jakeem, how does it feel to be a home run hitter? Just real quick, be the big play guy. How's that feel?
It feels great, you know. And I also, you know, it's a lot of pressure on me too, as well. Yeah. So, you know, and people are always looking for, hey, when is Jakeem gonna make that home run play? When is Jakeem gonna do that? But I appreciate that. So, and I like that they have that confidence in me that I can do that.
My man D. Dalton sends in Jakeem. Did you get that shirt at Home Shopping Network? He said I was going to order one. I don't think you had to go to Home Shopping Network to get your shirt.
Yeah, I definitely didn't go to Home Shopping.
D. Dalton, you got to go, though. You got to pay up, man. You got to go to Home
Shopping. Yeah, definitely.
Get yourself a nice scarf or something while you're at it. I'll get these other ones for you. From Joseph A. Parker, Facebook guy. What's your goal for touchdowns this year? I know you don't put those – I know sometimes it's just, hey, I just want to be the best player I can be, but you think you can be a guy that can find the end zone a handful of times?
Yes, sir. I would say I definitely – my goal is to at least get a touchdown every game.
Yeah.
And I know that's a big thing to say, but if I don't have that goal, then I'm not being great.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's exactly what I want to do.
Yeah, you can't get goals if they're not good goals to achieve,
yes,
right?
Sir.
Easy goals are too easy.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jakeem, hey, man, I appreciate you stopping by. Thanks a lot. Hey, it's been it was great watching you this offseason and great watching you go through and get to where you are right now, and just proud of what you've done and the big plays, and really looking forward to you for a big part of this offense. Man, this offense looks like it's going to be a high-powered, big-play offense, doesn't
it? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I appreciate you having me on.
So the fans out here, I'm sure, are going to enjoy it, and we're going to enjoy it. And how exciting is it going to be Sunday when the Tampa Bay Bucks roll into town and you get to open up at Hard Rock?
Yes, sir. It's going to be very exciting just to get to be able to come back in our stadium for our first regular season game and just go out there and show the fans what we got.
All right, buddy. Stay healthy. Have a good year, man.
All right. Thank you.
We'll keep an eye on you.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jakeem Grant, going to be a good guy to watch this year, a guy that can make some big plays and certainly get out there and with Jay Cutler back there throwing the football. You know he likes to throw the ball downfield. We've seen that since Jay Cutler came to town, and he's certainly not going to slow down when the season starts, especially when you got a guy like Jakeem Grant, who I don't think there's anybody that thought Jakeem Grant during the middle of this training camp was going to emerge as the type of receiver that we've seen him emerge at as a big-time receiver out there, a guy that can get past cornerbacks, can get open, and then once he catches the ball, you're not going to catch this guy once he's got the ball in the hand. We've all seen that. And so, yeah, I think he's going to be a big home run hitter for this team. Let's go ahead and get some questions here. Periscope question. I got game. Will we be playing Thursday or Friday? I don't know if there's any change. Have we heard anything, Leon, about preparation? I know this Hurricane Irma is kind of down there, and it's going to be around somewhere around here on the weekend. I don't know exactly where it's going to be, but so far, I don't think there's been any talk, or maybe they're doing some talk now, preparations or whatever, as to what to do in the event of Irma's coming close to us and becoming an impediment to playing on Sunday. So all I can say is, you know, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, keep on the NFL Network or wherever you go to get your stuff, and go to dolphins.com, and you'll find out. You'll find out probably about the same time we all find out. Okay, so let's see. Bucks picked up T.J. Ward. T.J. Ward was the offensive guard, right? That got released. Huh? Oh, the safety? Okay, anyway. Yes, they did. Okay, Facebook. Broke Cliff Smith from Facebook. You feel that our receiving core will open the running game? You know, I think a little bit of both. I think they're going to both go hand in hand. You know, you can look at all these receivers, and you look at the tight ends that you brought in here to be part of this passing game, and the receivers, as good as they are out there. But I can guarantee this. This football team wants to be basically a running football team. They want to get the running game established. They want to get Jay Ajayi going. They want to get that offensive line moving the line of scrimmage, and they're feeling that that will open up the passing game. But vice versa, if you can get the passing game opened up, and they start concentrating on that, and they start bringing the extra DBs in for nickel and dime packages, then the running game certainly becomes a little more viable. So I think this is a very good balanced football team. I think they're going to have the ability to throw the football field all around the field. I think Julius Thomas at the tight end really presents that big guy down the seam, as well as a guy in the red zone. I think that we're going to see him be a big asset in the red zone when it comes to scoring touchdowns. But I do think that this is still a football team that wants to be a power running game behind Jay Ajayi, let him wear people down, and late in that second quarter when you're going into halftime, where you can put some points on the board, late in the fourth quarter when it comes down to crunch time and you got this guy pounding on you, wearing out. If you remember last year, some of his biggest runs came in the second half after guys got worn down because he's just a strong, hard, bull-nosed runner. And if you're a defensive lineman, if you're a linebacker, and you've seen this guy 10, 15, 20 times pounding the ball, believe me, it tends to take a toll on you. It tends to wear you down a little bit. And sometimes you're not so quick to stick your head in there. Sometimes when you need to stick your head in there. So I think it's going to be a very, very balanced offense, which I think is exactly what these guys are looking for. Periscope, Ronnie, 2382. I think I think DeVante Parker will have a breakout season and become a Pro Bowl receiver. Well, I think everyone expects that out of DeVante Parker. You know, we've been talking about it all during training camp. We saw in the preseason games his ability to go up and catch the ball. And I think for him in particular, the addition of Jay Cutler as a guy that loves to throw the ball down the field, and he's got this relationship going with DeVante Parker where he's either going to throw the ball up to him, let him go up and get it, and if it's tight coverage, he'll throw the back shoulder to him because he knows that DeVante can adjust to that football. And I think that is going to be a combination this year that is going to be very, very exciting to watch. And not taking anything away from Jarvis Landry, who's going to be a major, major part of this passing game, and Kenny Stills, along with Jakeem Grant. Let's not forget about Leonte Carew, who's coming on very well in his second year. This is going to be a very, very talented bunch that's going to help this offense open up and be a very healthy offense, if you will. DeVante Parker's a Pro Bowler. Look, from what I've seen from him so far this year, leads me to believe that there's no reason that he shouldn't be in the mix as a Pro Bowler if injuries don't step up and cause problems with him. So a lot of good things there. Tilbert Jack from Periscope. Bo, is Grant faster than Stills? Grant is faster than everybody on this football team. Kenny Stills a fast guy, but I think Kenny Stills probably three or four on the list of fastest guys on the team, or somewhere in that ranking. I think that's where he is about there. But yeah, I would say that Grant number one. I would go to Kenyon Drake is number two, maybe Kenny Stills, and then you kind of look around there. So, Facebook, Naz Durbo, you think Jay has the arm to go deep with our deep guys? Well, if you've been watching preseason games, he loves to throw the ball deep. I don't think getting the ball down here to the downfield to the receivers is any problem at all for Jay Cutler. We've seen it time and time again during the preseason, his ability to get down there, and he loves to throw the ball deep down the field. So, no, that's not going to be a problem. Arm strength is certainly not a problem for Cutler. Anthony Schalk Felicio, which linebacker do you identify with? I probably identify with Chase Allen because he's close to my number 58, but he's at 59. Let me see. Other linebackers that I would associate myself with as far as play, probably a little more Kiko Alonso-ish, I think, because I was a little more of a space, out in space kind of a linebacker, not a big middle ball. And I certainly don't fit in the mold of I'm certainly not fitting in the mold of Lawrence Timmons, not watching him. I think he was doing that big heavy weightlifting in Pittsburgh, and not there. Not Ray Malaluga either. Not Mike Hall either, a lot bigger than him. So, yeah, I would have to go with probably Chase Allen would be the kind of the – maybe more of the size-wise or whatever that I would. But because I came in, I was 6'6", 245. He's 6'3", 250. So maybe along the way there. Dorian Alvarez, why did they get rid of Fales? He looked good. Well, the biggest reason they got rid of Fales, I think Fales probably is a better than two quarterbacks. You're talking him and Brandon Dowdy. But Fales was, you know, I think he was going into his fourth year in the NFL. And after your third year, you can't go back to the practice squad. And you see what they did with Brandon Dowdy. They released him, picked him back up, put him on the practice squad. He got practice squad eligibility. And really, I think that's what came down to whether we're going to keep Fales or whether they're going to keep Dowdy. And Dowdy was a guy with some upside, with a little more potential. And I do think David Fales, I think you've seen the best of David Fales in his career. I don't think he's going to get better if he catches on with another team and goes along. So I think there's still a little more upside to Brandon Dowdy, along with the practice squad availability. And I think that's really what made the difference between Fales and Brandon Dowdy. But, look, I think David Fales came and did a lot of good things, certainly in that last game in Minnesota. Had a good game down there, two touchdowns in that game. I think he had three touchdown passes, maybe four touchdown passes during the preseason. So I think he did everything that he could to make this team. But I think just circumstances were so much that it just didn't allow him to get a spot on the roster. Mark Zarrier, Facebook. I hope Fasano and Thomas can make an impact. We haven't had a good tight end since Charles Clay, and Charles Clay hasn't been doing so well up in Buffalo. He's been dealing with injuries up there, and you kind of wish he would have stuck around here. But, yeah, I think you got a two-headed tight end here. Let's not forget Marquise Gray, who every time he seems to get an opportunity, he seems to step up and make plays. But in Fasano, you've got a big, burly, tough, blocking tight end for your running game that can also catch a football for you. But he's certainly not going to be the guy that's going to be integral in the passing game. You look at Julius Thomas, and he's the guy that's not really the guy that's going to block for you, but he can run down the seam still. I think he's still got the speed to run down the seam. He's the guy that can cross the field and make plays for you. And as I said early on, he's a guy I think they're going to look at a lot when they get down into the red zone to make plays down there and to get the ball in the end zone. So I think that I like that combination of guys with Marquise Gray as the third guy that can come in here and make things happen. And it really gives them a good situation, especially if they want to go to three tights. David Bolivar from Facebook. Bo, do you think Landry will not be motivated? No, I think Jarvis Landry is always motivated. I think he's going to be motivated because I think he knows that the Dolphins are going to reward him with a contract somewhere down the road. And the last thing I would ever be worried about with Jarvis Landry not being motivated. This guy loves to play football, loves to make plays, and I haven't seen one inclination from him on the football field all training camp that he's not ready to go out there and play just like he has the last couple years since he's been here. So, no problem with that. One last question. A.B. Rivera off of Facebook. What do you think about Stringfellow's future? I think he got picked up by the New York Jets. I think they're going to give him an opportunity up there. I don't think he's a guy that can really play and make an impact this year. I think he's a guy that you'd probably like to kept here on the practice squad, work with him a little bit, get him a little better at running routes, get him a little better at being consistent running routes and have a future. Whether they can drag that out of him up in New York, time will tell. But to be honest with you, if he's not here, I really couldn't care less right now. I'm worried about these guys on the football team. All right, that's going to do it for the Audible today. We're going to be back with you Wednesday. Wednesday we'll be in studio. We'll be coming to you probably about 4:30. Is that about time? We'll be at 4:30 on Wednesday in studio. We'll be coming for you there, and we'll get one of the scribes or one of the writers to come on, and we'll talk about this this makeup of this football team and begin turning our attention towards Sunday's game, the opener at Hard Rock Stadium against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 1 o'clock kickoff at Hard Rock Stadium, and we'll have a little more update on Hurricane Irma and where she's at and how it may affect or may not affect this football team. So stick around the Audible. Catch us on the archives if you want to take a look at it again. But we'll be back on Wednesday for that. That's going to do it for the Audible today. I'm Kim Bocamper. You guys have a good couple days. We'll be back with you on Wednesday afternoon. We'll see you then.